I don't have a polished sermon this morning, and I don't have, I do have a passage I want to read, but I was just going through this, and I don't frankly quite know everything where it's going to go or what it's going to be, so take from it what you can, and get from it what you can. I do want to say this, and you know, we're missing some folks, obviously, some folks watching, and there's people who watch this who don't even come to the church. Now, so I want to speak because, as I've said before, theology should be public theology from the standpoint that the gospel, the message of the cross. Bob, if you could do me a favor and close those doors, because I said last week, just so you know, when it's my kid, it's especially very jarring when I hear him because I'm so used to it. I've got that buzzer going, it's my kid, and just zoom in, and I completely lose my train of thought. But theology should be public theology. Theology should affect every aspect and every area of life. And that's applicable to today. It's applicable to all times. Hang on real quick. Owen, can you go tell Mom that he can still get his tree? I was telling him because that's why he's fussing. He's downstairs real quick. Just calling my son down there. I had told him if he was a big boy today, you get ice cream. So right now, I guarantee he's crying because he's thinking, I'm not being a big boy, and I'm not going to get my ice cream. So, but he and I will calm him down. So theology is public theology, and as I've said before, you know, 2020, I was sharing with my wife, it's been a real privilege to be able to speak and to... It's been a heck of a year, 2020. And I think it's done far more good for the church than bad. And I'm more excited and more hopeful for the church today than I've been awakened more this year than ever before in my entire life. And I think that's certainly the case now. I said this last week. I think I said in the newsletter that I had, 2020... It's not over yet. It's certainly not over. And I do want to say this: it's not my job to be a political commentator. If you want to know what I think about politics, many of you have talked to me about that separately. I'm happy to do it. Up here, my role before God is really to say, to point you to Jesus, like we did in worship, in the midst of all of it, and find where the Lord is in all of it. Not ignore it, but realize this is the world we're living in, and we as citizens of the kingdom of God have a responsibility and a mandate to not just... All Jesus began to do and teach. So it's not enough to just teach it or believe it up here. It has to be fleshed out in my life. And what a time to live out the gospel than right now. What a time to be sons and daughters of God than right now. Because if I can't do it now, what's the point of any of it? So it has to work in the dirt. It has to transform everything. So while my job is not to be a political commentator, my job is to really point you to Jesus in the midst of all of this. I do want to say, and this is not as a thus saith the Lord, because I don't know, but I told my wife on Wednesday, because she wasn't following the news of the week, and I said, this is going to happen. And so far, everything I've said has happened. And I do think, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, whoever is inaugurated on the 21st, it's not quite over in the grand scheme of things. There's going to be some fighting and some things going on in the days to come. And my prayer is this, and I feel like this should be all of our prayer. If there is, you know, we're going, I said this a few weeks ago, we're going into an election in our nation where both sides are saying if the other person wins, it's not. So, if that's the case, my prayer before God, I pray this many times, Lord, whoever actually won legal votes in the states should be the winner. Yes. I frankly don't care which one. I voted for one guy. Amen. If the other guy gets it, justice and righteousness as people of God is our standard. It's not a political partisan slant. And I've heard things on both sides, frankly, that are disconcerting to me. So whoever actually did it is what I want. So Lord, if there was issues, please do expose it. And my heart is also this as well. If President Trump is, in fact, reelected, it's my prayer he'd be the best president we've ever had. Yeah. If Joe Biden was actually elected, it's my prayer he'd be the best president we've ever had. And my standards don't change. I've told my wife ever since George Bush started growing up, I've always lifted up our president and vice president before I'm going to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I've always done it from Bush. I didn't do it for Clinton, I was too young. But for Bush, Obama, and Trump, if it's Biden, I'll do the same thing. As people of God, that's our responsibility. It's our mandate to do that. So I want to encourage us in that, and in that sense, to be involved and be aware of what's going on, but to not lose our... we're citizens of another kingdom.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And one thing Pastor Rick said last week, I really agree, is Jesus was talking to Pilate. He says, my kingdom is not of this world.
Right.
Yeah. And the world there is cosmos. It's actually a system and order of thought. Mm-hmm. We're living on this earth, but we're citizens of heaven. Mm-hmm. And so we come in with a completely different train of thought, completely different mindset. Mm-hmm. So our response, whether our guy or gal wins, loses, or draws, is we're held to a higher standard of citizens of the kingdom than some of the things I've seen on Facebook from. And let me say this too. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. I love that. The Holy Spirit's the comforter.
Yeah.
So I was on Wednesday, like everyone else, and if you're not, then hey, kudos to you, but for most people, and I think even now, many Americans are legitimately like, I don't really know what to believe, because we've lost trust in our institutions. And in some respects, I think that might be a good thing, because it makes us rely on Jesus more than we ever have before. We sang that song, Christ the Solid Rock, I stand all over on a sinking sand. Every structure and every ordinance of man that's not of God, it is sinking sand. It's particles of rock. It's not the rock. And so it's very important that we recognize that. But the Holy Spirit's the comforter. And so I was on Wednesday, really, what's going on? I had some confusion. I had some struggles. How did that get fixed for me? I went and I spent time with Holy Spirit, the comforter. He's the one who can comfort me. My wife can't. You know, my family, no one can comfort me but Holy Spirit. And so I went, got alone with Him. In your Bible, pray, worship, whatever you do. Just pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. I was talking to my kids about that last night. Pray in the Spirit. But allow Him to be your comforter and allow Him to give you perspective. You guys know this, I believe, but it's very important that it's reiterated to you. At the end of the day, because I think there's possibly some more, maybe not, I could be wrong, but if I was a betting man, I would bet on some potential more chaos before the year's out. I was talking to my sister yesterday, and I said, you know, if this ends up going to the Supreme Court, because it may and it may not, but it's talk, it's out there, it's not a partisan stance. If it does, I said, you know, I hope I'm back from our vacation by the time that happens, so the world doesn't burn down, I can have my vacation to see my family and come back, selfishly. But whatever the case, we're children of God, we're children of the kingdom of God, we're citizens of heaven, and so at the end of the day, our hope is in Christ Jesus. It's in our relationship with the Lord, we need each other, it's not the time for isolation. That's one of my biggest griefs in the body of Christ. We need each other, and we all pray for one another, pray for each other, and go to God. Amen. And I think you guys know that, but I wanted to share that. So pray for whoever is the rightful winner. We want that, and my heart is that for all of us, and I believe yours is too. And even if there's voter fraud, as people say, which I think has been happening for many years, even if it's just 1,000 votes in the country, it needs to be exposed and corrected so that it'll be righteous and just. Amen. And that's what we want as kingdom citizens. Amen?
Amen.
So in all of that, turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. Romans 13, 11 through 14. we've been going through Romans for quite a while, and I spoke a few weeks ago. Well, Pastor Rick was here last week, of course. And before then, I spoke on the prayers of Nehemiah. And just to remind you of that, continue to pray for our nation and pray for our leaders and everything. But in this, it says in verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Okay. Part of me saying this is not polished is because when I look at this, I see there's several, actually, it's probably several different sermons in here, and I'm just going to brush on a few phrases and really just try to speak into that. But it says, besides this, you know the time. And that's really in preference. I'm going to go back because, as I said before, Paul was speaking this. He had someone who wrote this down for him, and so it's going on in the translators put in chapters. This is a long, ongoing thing for Paul. So when it says, knowing the time, one, he goes back to 13:1, let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there's no authority except by God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And even in verse 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now is the time to wake. It's knowing the time. I've already said this previously, but I'm going to say it again. One of my things I've been wrestling with, and I've talked to Andrea about it, is there's a sense as believers where I think we get so caught, there's two extremes. I can get so caught up in the affairs of man that I lose hold of Christ. I've seen that. And then the other extreme is I don't care anything about the affairs of man because I just have Jesus. There has to be a marriage of those, as I just said. And I want us to be a people who have that, to know and understand the time. And sleepiness and druggery is not, or should not be, a part of the Christian's life. And I have said this previously, and I was talking to my wife last night. I believe right now, 2020, has woken the church up more in America. I was telling Andrew, I said, you know, I think back to a few years ago even, and I think a lot of the issues we debate in the church, we talk about in the church, in some ways they seem petty. And we've seen in 2020 that things can change in the blink of an eye, and you can fill in whatever blanks you want to fill in with that, be it COVID revelation or restrictions, be it riots, be it whatever it is, be it potential Equality Act. I've told my wife, I'm at the point in my own heart where I say, you know, I think if you look in the early church and look at the governments and look at the systems of man, because like I said, whoever wins this election at the end of the day, our systems and our nation, to a large extent, is still very fractured. It's still very fissured, and it's still shaky because it's not found on the rock. Again, we're citizens of a higher kingdom. And so I think we're more alert and more awake to the fact that, hey, there's a potential that people could be extremely unfriendly to church. They could be extremely unfriendly to believers. Well, welcome to Christianity. Welcome to the book of Acts. Welcome to the new, welcome to this word here. And I haven't, I've been to other nations, I've never done missions work in other nations, I never have. My wife has, I haven't. But I've spoken to missionaries, I've seen men and women of God overseas, and went to Bible school with many of them. And we've had a very plush time in the church in America for many years. And that's true. And if that's not the case anymore, my heart is stirred and firm. And I say, I bring it on in Jesus Christ. Because there's a boldness that I have inside of me to a sin I didn't have a year or two ago. And I pray that for us, knowing the time, knowing that the times, if they are evil, well, that's okay. At the end of the day, because we're the people of God. I'm awake, I'm alert, I'm not aloof to what's going on. I'm also not so caught up in it that I forget Him, but I'm alert to both aspects. This is the world I live in. Jesus is King. His kingdom transcends over all. I'm part of His kingdom. And even if you would take my life, you don't take my life. I'm with Jesus. And so there's a convincing aspect to that that we must have as believers. I hear people say, well, church isn't doing this, the church isn't doing that. The church has sought the Lord the last 2 months, I believe, in America, and more times since I can remember, and I'm not the oldest one in the room, but in my memory, I think the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has sought Him more this year than any time I can remember in my life. I guess you go back to the Jesus movement, some of the great moves of God, but as a whole, collectively, I think God is doing great things in His body and in His people. Amen? Amen. We are His bride. We're being joined to Him, and that's a healthy thing. So we know the time. You know, the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, "And the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and their brethren were at their command." Do you know what? When the tribes were being sent out, Judah went first. Judah means praise. Andrew said this morning, if you don't know what to do, praise the Lord. If you're, I mentioned last or 2 weeks ago, Jehoshaphat, Moab and Ammon were coming. What did he do? He set up worshipers to go out in front. An angel slew the army because there's power in worship. Judah went first. Issachar was second. You have to have people who are aware. This is what's going on, but I'm seeing it from heaven's perspective. I'm seeing it I've with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I've been with Him. He's spoken to me through His Word. I'm aware and I can speak heaven's perspective into the situations of the earth. I can live heaven's perspective when no one else is. That's vital as well. And the third one I have to admit, Zebulun, which speaks of the financiers. And so that's an important aspect as well. We'll get into that. But the sons of Issachar, I was doing some research. They were the ones who backed, which was unpopular, Deborah, who's a woman judge. They also backed King David when no one else did. In other words, they could see what God was doing. And so I say this, when I say backing Deborah, I'm not talking about, if you hear me say political thing, right. What I'm saying is this. I can see what God's doing when no one else can. And as the people of God, I say, amen, we want that. Lord, we want to see what You're doing. If people say the world's burning around me, I can see and I can hear and I know what You're doing in the midst of it. And I will run into that battle, the armor of God within me, knowing that my King reigns. Amen? Amen. We have that perspective and that's vital for us to have so we understand the times. And then, in verse 12, says, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. In 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read this. We are to be children of light. Amen. Says this, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and there shall be no escape. But, verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. It's not my topic this morning, but the day of the Lord in Scripture is always a day of day and night, day and night. Look in Joel. There's a passage I'll read in Psalms in a little bit. It talks about dark clouds around the Lord, but there's lightnings of light. It depends on your perspective and where you are. I should teach on this sometimes, but Ecclesiastes, sometimes it questions, why is Ecclesiastes in the Bible? I think it presents life under the sun, which is the constant theme there. And then the Song of Solomon was life in the sun, unity with him.
Amen.
So either I'm just living under the natural elements of what's going on and moved and shaken by them, mm-hmm. or I'm meshed in with the Lord. And so he says here, you, for the coming of the Lord, you're not in darkness. It's not going to overtake you. You're in light. Mm-hmm. So in verse 5 it says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So we, Jesus is the light of the earth. You are light of the world, city on a hill. Amen? Yes. Because Jesus Christ is king of our life. He's in our hearts. He reigns. We're in the light. Amen? We're in him. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. That harkens back to Romans 13. But let us watch and be sober, self-controlled. I'll say this again. There's joy in the Lord. You know, Eric is not here, but she told me to watch The Chosen. So we just started watching The Chosen this week. If you've never seen The Chosen, Erica Bell told me to watch it. It's really good, because when I think of joy, I think we were watching that, and you're seeing these, they're portraying actual people, and it helps you. And Jesus was a man who had full of joy. He was. He was also a man acquainted with grief, Isaiah writes about as well. And there is a soberness. We are people of joy. We're filled with the Spirit. There is a soberness that we have as well, because we're children of the light. And we have a mandate from God that does make us sober, from the standpoint that I'm aware there's a certain seriousness that we have as sons and daughters of God, because he's given us the privilege of being alive today. And everything going on in America in 2020, we have the privilege, not the, oh, why are we here? No, it's a privilege. Thank you, Lord, that you put all of us here in 2020, because we all carry something that the world so desperately needs. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
It says, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober. Putting on, there's putting on again Christ again, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Are we people filled with faith?
Amen.
Are we people filled with the love of God? Yes, we're putting those things on. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So one thing we have in our land, and it's been going on, and it's very pronounced now as well forever, is there is a distinction between light and dark, and that's a good thing. And so if you see, I was telling someone yesterday, I said, just, if you have a hard time, stay off Facebook. Someone made a statement with my mother-in-law, I think it was, you can't expect non-Christians to act like Christians. It's just liberating to realize that. I can't expect, if Billy doesn't know the Lord, I can't expect him to act like he does. If he does, it's just fake anyways. And as children of God, our job is to pray. I was talking to someone yesterday, and I said, that guy, and it's a family situation, I said, that guy's a hard guy to pray for. But we need to pray for him, but he's a hard guy to pray for. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's our job to pray and see people transform in their hearts, because I can't transform their minds.
Amen.
So we transform their hearts, and they recognize that the distinction between day and night will become, and it is, more and more and more pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
That's healthy. And unity at the end of the day begins in the church. I put up the computer briefly this morning, and I saw a statement. I'm actually going to go back. People are upset because President Obama didn't unite the country. Well, no man can unite the country. People, Donald Trump, divider, of course. And I saw it highlights more. President-elect Biden is going to unite them. I said, no, he can't. You can't put that on him. That's not fair to him. He can't do it. You can't do it. No man can do that. Amen. And so at the end of the day, what I say, and I've said this before, that begins in the church. And Jesus' prayer in John 17, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, that they all may be one, that the world may believe. And one of my prayers as well, it's actually one of my burdens. as believers, non-essentials, or excuse me, essential truths are paramount. You can't break on the virgin birth, deity of Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, second coming, just foundational things. But I do see so many schisms in the body of Christ. I see it even coming out now. And I do this often, I tell you that, I got in front of the cross and nailed down this morning, and I was praying about it, and the Lord put some things in my heart where I'm not so great at either. I said, Lord, help me, forgive me. But there's varying divisions, and I think the Lord wants us as a people of God to stop throwing stones at our brothers and our sisters and realize, and I don't know how this happens, it has to be a move of God. I think it's Psalm 33 or it's 133. Bible scholar, help me out. But how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Mm-hmm. So the oil flows when brethren are in unity.
Amen.
And that means that Billy and I may have a disagreement on the nature of prophecy, or about this prophecy or that prophecy or something. But there's a unity there because we're brothers and we're sisters. No man can make our country unite. A house divided itself cannot stand.
Amen.
And that applies to, but what can is a move of the Spirit of God that we haven't seen the likes of yet. And I firmly believe that begins in the church. And it does begin with unity in the church. Because the whole thing of, you know, looking at the speck in your brother's eye and not seeing the plank in your own eye.
Amen.
I'm going on this longer than I need, but maybe I need to. I wasn't really playing on it. Again, check your own heart. The Holy Spirit gently convicted me this morning of an area because I thought, I'm doing good at this. And, no, I'm not. Help me, Holy Spirit. I need it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easy to see that in others. And we have blind spots. Lord, help me get this big plank. It's kind of a funny analogy if you think about it, the Lord gave us. Get this big thing out of my eye so I'm not seeing the speck there in Billy's.
Amen.
And help us to truly walk together in love.
Amen.
Because I do firmly believe, I'm excited about the days to come because I believe that God is doing something marvelous in the church, something marvelous in the people of God. This church and the churches around this nation and in the churches around this world. Maybe we're catching up to our brothers and sisters. We're not there yet in China. As I was talking to Pastor Rick last week, and if you remember, he said, in the state church in China, you cannot preach on, they do not allow you to preach on the Holy Spirit, which is just fascinating to me. Now, I was going to teach on the Holy Spirit today. We did a little Bible study last night on our devotion time with the kids. But that church is growing. Those Christians, we read that they actually, in China, they had not seen someone raised from the dead in 21 days. So they went on a 10-day fast to figure out what was wrong with them.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, you know, Lord, thank you because you're catching us up to speed as well, I believe. Lord, you're giving us an expectancy, you know, and a heart for change. And God's equipped us and put us here. Youngest one in the room, Zachariah, whoever the oldest one is, all of us have a part and a portion to play in your prayers, in your actions, in your duties. And I say this all the time, praying grandmamas, as I call them, and that can apply to a man as well, young or old. I just call them praying grandmamas. I believe have esteemed places with God. I believe have esteemed places with the Lord. You have no idea what your prayers can do in that room right there where no one's around.
Amen.
Sometimes when we look at everything going on our land and I just fix it and I can't, well, what can you do? Well, first thing I do, I can pray. I can worship. Amen. I can speak to the mountain, as Mary said this morning. I can do those things. I can find small areas because that small little portion is a part of the whole. You know, I gave that analogy. I got it from N.T. Wright. Sam, if you heard that from N.T. Wright, when he's talking about your portion that you have, and there's the St. Michael's down the road. You remember they were building that church for probably 3 years, rebuilding it. It's beautiful right now. But the smallest, most insignificant part in that whole building, if you left it out, the whole structure could fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So often, as Paul writes in the Corinthians, we look at the quote-unquote insignificant parts. But in the heavens, that could be the whole foundation piece. It could be one little piece in the corner that you decide, this is the mantle God's given me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take it and run with it for all I'm worth. And if we don't do it, if it's not done, it can't be built. We're still right here in the small portion. So take that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to say one more thing, I believe, and then I'm going to be done. Let us walk properly. Okay, talked about that. All right, let us walk properly, verse 13, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness or lewdness, not in strife and envy. And Pastor Rick spoke a little bit last week about the kingdom of God. And I spoke some about it too. But his kingdom is not of this world. There's always a tension. And there always will be a tension in that. There's always going to be. Persecution is right about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's part of the kingdom lifestyle. It's what the natural ways of the Spirit when light and darkness meet. But as I've said, light always overtakes darkness. It's the old analogy, if I come in here, if you're ever in the building here, it can be dark in here at night with a little flashlight. But if I come in and it's pitch black, I turn on the lights and it's light in here. Amen? And so that always happens. There's always a tension. There always is that. But the kingdom of God, let us walk properly. The kingdom of God is always sovereign. We are in the kingdom. Jesus is the kingdom is God's upon you. We're called to do those works and those actions. But we are looking forward to in that time between his first and second coming, okay, where the kingdom is reached in its fullness. And we have the portion of new heavens and a new earth. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to walk within that and walk in the midst of that. And one of my favorite, and I've said this to you before, I love the book of Daniel. Because I love it when secular kings proclaim the goodness of God. Nebuchadnezzar said this, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation.
Amen.
Whatever's going on in our land, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It never ends.
Amen.
He says this again after Nebuchadnezzar was humiliated during his restoration. He said this, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion. Is he on the throne? Yes, it's an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. It didn't stop in the 1900s. His kingdom is still alive and functioning and flourishing today. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Let us walk properly. A healthy fear of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's nothing that can be done apart from him. Darius said this in Daniel 6. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. And he works signs and wonders in heaven and on the earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Secular kings, he said again, this is the Bible, it's good to read it. Daniel 7. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. You get the theme? His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. And it is true. If you look throughout Scripture, you look at these kingdoms. You look at Pilate, as Pastor Rick said last week. He looks in the face of truth and says, "What is truth?" Mm-hmm. Pilate was seen in the eyes of man as elevated above, who is this guy right here?
Right.
Jesus is the man who they've tried for centuries to burn the book. They've tried for centuries to get him out of everything. And he's still saving lives. He's still transforming people by the millions in this earth. His kingdom never ends. And so no matter the chaos, no matter what
2020 unfolds for us the rest of the year and into 2021. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Lift my eyes up to the hills. Where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so my heart for us this morning...
Close this up.
My heart for us this morning is to be aware of the times and alert of the times, but that we also walk properly and recognize Jesus, you're on the throne. You've given us a mandate. And my eyes look to you. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege. And I say, I'm going to end with this. I say this for everyone. Someone told me, they said, man, it's got to be tough for pastors to have to speak into all this stuff this year. It's like, no, it's a privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
Not just for pastors, but for the body of Christ. Because I'm your brother. Mm-hmm. We, again, like the sons of Issachar, we have perspective from Him. Holy Spirit's our comforter. It's a privilege to be able to walk in the peace of God when no one else is. It's a privilege to have hope when no one else has hope.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to have an anchor mm-hmm. when people are just floundering. When people are in darkness, arise, shine, for your light has come. We have that. That's a privilege. Yeah. It's not a burden. It's a privilege that all of us have. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for your people, Lord, here, for those who watch, Lord, those who, every church here in Pawtucket, Southwesterly, Lord, all over this land. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the privilege to be alive in 2020, November the 8th, 2020, here in New England, in America. We thank you for that privilege. Lord, may we be up to the task. So, Lord, I just pray that all of us, Father, would find time within our day, within our week, within our moments, Lord, just to commit ourselves anew and afresh to you, Lord, that we would receive fresh manna from heaven, Lord, that we would find our anchor, we would find our solace, we would find our comfort in you and no one else. Thank you, Lord, that this people, Lord, we're salt and we're light to people who so desperately need it. And I thank you, Lord, for the continual testimonies in the days to come. And we love you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name.